Blog Talk Radio.
This is the cry of a people who were robbed and raped from their homeland and their loved ones. A people stripped of their culture, their dignity, their liberty, and their rights. And by the cruel and presumptuous hands of the colonial and imperialistic slavers were cargoed into the West, where for over 400 years they have toiled and labored, and with their blood, their sweat, and tears and hands, they have built the great city of Babylon, only to be paid with the wages of the taskmaster's
Okay. Father, first and foremost, thank you for the Shabbat, Father, that you set this time apart for us, Father, that you commanded us to appear before you and to sup with you and to learn from you, Father. Thank you for just keeping us in mind, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to open up your word to us, continue to grow us as your little children, Father. Nurture us and bring us closer to you. Father, we ask that you protect all of Israel, protect those who are on their way, all around the world to give you praise, Father. We ask that you protect our Zakins, our little ones, our brothers and our sisters, Father. And we thank you for looking after us throughout this week, Father. We thank you for the strength to overcome all the obstacles that we face during the week. We thank you for the lessons that we've learned, Father. We ask, Father, that you comfort anybody who's hurting mentally, spiritually, physically, according to your will, Father. Most of all, Father, we ask that you open up your word and open up our minds to your understanding, Father, that we may do what we must do, do our part. We ask all these things in Yahushua's name, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets, who was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Kol Shavah. Shabbat Shalom, family. Hope everyone had a great week. If you didn't, it's the Shabbat. So my week was real rough this week. So, you know, I'm glad he keeps that on my mind. You know, for the times that we do go through, the stuff that we go through. Cool, we went through it. Now, the Shabbat. Get that break. Get that break in the mundane and the stuff that you go through, all the crap you go through. So this week, I lost my phone while I was on the bus. And I didn't pay any attention to it. I put my phone in my pocket, but my pocket has a hole in it. And it fell through the hole, and I heard something go boom. I didn't pay any attention to it. I just stepped off the bus. Now, I tapped my pockets. I always check my pockets, but my phone wasn't there. So I was upset about it. So I waited. I didn't go to work. I waited for the bus to come back around. It only took like 15, 20 minutes, half an hour at the most to come back around. I hopped on the bus, and I asked the bus driver, did she see my phone? She's like, no. And I didn't have no way to ring it. I checked the bus a little bit, and I didn't see it. So somebody picked it up just that fast, you know. And I was really bummed out about it, but I was like, man, I wasn't upset about losing the phone. But it was on the SD card. I had pictures of Darius, graduations, and you know, pictures of him as a kid, and my mother and the grandbabies as they was a kid, and that's what I was upset about. Those pictures and the stuff that I know I'm not gonna be able to get again. So I was bummed out about that. So that was Tuesday. Darius was worried about me because he ain't hear from me. So Thursday, he calls his sister. And his sister's text my brother because nobody get in contact with me. So they text me, and they saw me on the PlayStation Network, and he says, hey, man, come on. I said, Darius called him and said, you didn't talk to her, and the phone going straight to voicemail. And I told him what happened, everything. So I saw Darius yesterday and come pick the child support up, and he's all lecturing me. And it's funny because I'm always on him about keeping at his stuff and not losing things. So first thing he sees me, he says, oh, you lost your phone, huh? I'm like, yeah, son, I lost my phone. And you gotta buy a new one, huh? Yeah, son, I gotta buy a new one. You know, the way he says it's real sarcastic, like, you know, you're always on me about this, you know, and keeping up with stuff, and you lose your phone. But those things happen. So, you know, but so in the midst of all that, I was wondering, I was like, man, I don't have, I need to study, and I want to put this lesson together. I don't know what I'm going to do. What I'm going to talk about, what I'm going to do, this, that, and another. And I would put a thought on my mind. And as I was going through the thoughts that he was putting on my mind, it hadn't started raining yet. You could see the sky was dark, but it hadn't started raining yet. And I said something, and all of a sudden, it was like, boom, this big, loud explosion scared me, because I actually thought they were shooting me. It was so loud. Because that was the thunder. And I was like, so that's what you want me to talk about. I got it. Because in the midst of all that stuff, we forget that he's the one doing the teaching. It's like you want to, we rely on technology and we look up stuff and we do this and we do that, but still, it don't make a difference if he don't give you the understanding. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes in the midst of your panic, or you're like, man, I'm a fail, or I don't want to disappoint you, or whatever it is you're feeling, you forget that Abba is still the teacher. Mm-hmm. He's going to reveal these things to you, and he's going to do it the way he needs to do it. So it didn't matter that I didn't have a phone, you know, because what he wanted to bring forth, he's going to bring it forth however he feels like bringing it forth, you know, through whatever man that stands up here, you know, because it ain't exclusive to me. It was just a reminder for me to remind everybody else. So when y'all go through it, and, you know, you feeling that way, hey, whoa, they will talk about that. He went through that. So that's experience for all of us, you know, so. First of all, thank God. It made me feel good when that happened, you know, because it was like, I was like, oh, that's what you want to talk about. So am I supposed to talk about it this go around or next go around? All right, it's next go. No, it's this go around. You know, because today we're finishing up Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 15. And we're going to be talking about, you know, last week we talked about the fornication and the pollution of idols. This week, we're going to talk about things strangled and blood, even though blood. The fourth thing that the new beginners, the new believers coming in, they're supposed to stop, get this under wraps off the book, you know. So, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 15, starting at verse 20. When we read the scenario, and I remember the scenario, the Sadducees and the Pharisees came in, messing up. So the Pharisees came in, bringing in doctrine, saying that you must be circumcised instead of another. They had the debate, they went back, and then we get to James rendering the sentence. And the sentence was this. Acts chapter 15, verse 20. It says, and that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So today we're going to talk about faith, struggle, and blood, as we just said. Now, looking into this, the pollution and the idols went together, and the thing strangled and the blood goes together. Because when you're thinking about these two things, these are things that you concern. You know, when you're talking about the thing strangled, you know, you're not talking about, there's different ways of killing animals. You know, you can slit the throat, you can, you know, especially when you're farming animals. One of the ways that they used to kill animals was strangling them by strangulation. The most common way was slitting the throat. That way the blood rushes through the neck. The blood pressure doesn't get to the blood gets to the brain and it dies. And that was, quote unquote, the most humane way of doing it. But think about it. If one of the things that we're not supposed to eat is blood, that is one of the better ways of killing an animal ready for that you're going to consume. So when I was looking into this whole thing strangled, I really didn't find a whole lot on it, but it was Abba gave me another way of thinking about this. Because when you think about strangling, and there's a difference in the two with the passages we're going to read. When you're strangling something, you're literally taking the air out of it. You know, you're stopping the air blockage. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21. And it reads, "You shall not eat anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the stranger that is by the gates, and he may eat it, or thou may sell it unto the alien. For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh, your mighty one. Thou shalt not deceive a kid in its mother's milk." So, when you think about, again, strangulation, and then you think about something dying of itself, that's sort of like the same thing, because that spirit, that breath, is now gone from him. Not so much the blood is still in him, but that breath has gone from him. And, you know, this is how Yahweh led me to see these things. So, the fact that he says that he does not want us to eat anything that dies of itself, and that it will, he says, you can give it to a stranger, and you can get in a stranger within your gates, and he can eat it, or you can sell it on to an animal. But you yourself, Israel, you cannot eat this because you're a holy people. So, so that means eating something that dies of itself is a way of defiling yourself within the eyes of the Most High. Because anytime you're talking about holiness, you're talking about the sanctity. And he does not want anything that is unsanctified within Israel. Right? Let's look at another passage. We're going to compare these two. Deuteronomy chapter 12, starting at verse 23. And it says, from this one, it says, "Only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life, and thou mayest not eat the life with the flesh. Thou shalt not eat it, thou shalt pour it upon the earth as water. So, you got something that dies of itself, the blood is still in it. We're not allowed to eat that. But we have something that's alive, and when you kill it, because you have to kill this thing, you cannot eat live things. So, when you kill it, you have to pour the blood out on the earth. You're not allowed to eat the blood, right? When you cook it, if there's blood in it, you must cook it thoroughly so that blood is not in it, right? If you are one of the ways that he says not to prepare meat is to season it or to boil it. Because think about it. When you're boiling something, all the juices come out. So if you got blood inside of the thing, you're literally cooking this in blood, right? Okay. Now, another thing that he says. In Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. Yeah, Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. And this reads, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. So a lot of times, when we're thinking about the parts of the animals that we can eat, we're eating the meat of the animal, but there's fat within the meat of the animal. But if there's fat in the meat of the animal, more than likely, it might be containing some blood in the meat of the animal because I'm a fat guy, but blood still flows through my fat. It helps maintain that life. So he says, not only don't worry about just the meat of the animal, but don't eat no fat of the animal either. So you can't eat something that dies of itself. You can't eat no fat of the animal, and you can't eat no blood of the animal, right? All these are parts of the thing that dies of itself. And also another one we're going to read about. I think I wrote that down too. The two comparisons. I didn't write it down, but another type of animal that we can't eat is one that's torn with beasts. So if a beast got to that animal before you did, that's your loss. If it's torn up, if a lion attacks my sheep and it tears into it and kills it, I'm not allowed to eat this animal that's dead. Because the lion killed him. So that's the spoil of the lion. We're not allowed to eat those things. So these are the four types of animals. We can't eat something that dies of itself. We can't eat we can't eat something that dies of itself. We can't eat something that is torn in beasts. But within that animal, we also can't eat the fat, and we can't eat the blood. So, It's one that it says it in there, but it's we're going to read it in a later part because really to 17:15. Let's go to that one. Yeah, let's go to Leviticus 17:15 because it's a specific passage we want to read. It's talking about torn beasts, but it gives a comparison between all these things. And let's see. This is Leviticus 17:15, and this reads, "And every soul that eateth that which dies of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity." So with this particular one, if you eat something that dies of itself, let's say you didn't know this thing dies of itself because you're not supposed to willingly eat this. But something dies of itself, or something was torn of the beast. Now, I don't know how you're going to not know that one, because that's most of the time that's visible. But let's say you did this thing to a fault of your own. With this particular one, something that dies of itself, something that's torn of the beast, you're just unclean to the evening. You wash your clothes, and it's just like any other, I don't want to say minor sin, but the sins that are less offensive to the Most High. Because when we read about this other thing, this eating of the blood, boy, he's hot about that. And it's like at the end, and it's funny that that's the last thing that he names, you know, the eating of the blood. Because this is like one of the serious offenses. Most High is playing about eating blood, you know, and he gives an explanation why. This is so important to him, you know. Something that's dying of itself or something that's torn of the beast, you mistakenly eat that, you're unclean to the morning. So you just call, forgive me, and this is something, all right, that's cool, I understand that. But now let's look at, So let's just jump to the new. Let's just jump to it because, you know, like I said, when Oliver gave me this, he made me feel real good. You know. So let's go to Leviticus 17. We're going to start at verse 10. Now, we already read that if you eat something that dies of itself or eat something that's going to be, that is just you being unclean to the evening. Leviticus 17:10. "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among them." Remember, something that dies of its own, you can give that to the stranger. Something that is, you can give that to the alien. You can sell it to him. He says, "And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or the strangers that sojourn among them, that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people." So this is a much stiffer punishment. This is a much stiffer. He's really upset about this. And then the next verse, he tells you why. "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." Now, he said that back in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. But he says this also, "And I have given it to you upon the altar, to make an atonement for your souls. But it is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls. So think about that. This is why when you eat that medium rare steak that's juicy and bloody and nasty in the middle, he has a problem with that. Why? Because that blood is supposed to be used for atonement, to make things right between them. And this is something that is specific for his blood. In other words, he gave us blood to save our lives. That's why he gave it to us. The life of the body is within, is the blood. So the blood is used to save lives. That's the purpose of it. It's not used for digestive purposes. Right? He says, for is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is for life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eat it shall be cut off. So he's going in real deep with this blood thing and about us not eating blood. Why? He gave it to us to save our lives. Now think about it. Yahushua said, here's my body, eat. Here's my blood, drink. And we know that was only symbolic. But his blood was given to make an atonement for us. So when we consume blood, right, the same way he's supposed to lay his body down and give his blood, that he use his blood to make an atonement for us, now we're supposed to lay our body down in repetition of him. But if we're consuming the blood and digesting the blood that we're supposed to be offering up, or we're consuming the life and digesting the life that we're supposed to be offering up, that's an abomination to the Most High. God, we're supposed to be following in the footsteps of the Most High. We're supposed to be being made into his image and into his likeness. So that means if his blood is an atonement, and he willingly gave his life up to make an atonement for us, what are we supposed to do with our blood? What are we supposed to do with our lives? You know? Because think about it. Why is this even connected with things that you eat or things that you consume? Because everything you consume becomes a part of you. So I don't want nothing that's dead, dying on its own to be a part of you. And if that does happen, you're unclean. But if you are willingly digesting blood, you're taking the life of something else. I don't want that to be a part of you. Think about the murder. Think about what Hasatan did. He took the life of Adam. He took everything Adam had. When we say life, not only did he take his life and cause him to die, but he took his status, he took his power, he took his dominion, everything that was connected with Adam, he got. Everything. I got, all right, fine. I got your woman. I got you. I got your woman. I got everything that comes after you. I got your earth. I got your animals. Everything that was even associated, that's me now. I got your blood. I got your life. You know, he literally traded places with Adam. He took his life. You know, impersonation. You know, when you're not that person, but you're working and functioning, and that person's like, you know, you hijack that person, you know, because they got people out here who look like stars and get treated like celebrities, even though they're not celebrities, but they're taking the status of that celebrity. You know, yeah, y'all understand what I'm saying? That's what happened with Hasatan. And so, Israel, I don't want y'all taking the life and taking the blood and eating the blood and consuming and continuing the cycle that you're on. So if you're going to take blood, take the ritual's blood. I offer it to you willingly. I cover you with it. You know? Because we're supposed to, and that's the thing. That's what I was thinking about. When the boom came, the thought that I would have put on my mind and thinking about the blood is, who are we emulating? Who are we supposed to be emulating in this world when it comes to blood, when it comes to living a life? Who are we supposed to be emulating? You know? Because so many people wander after everybody else. You know? And Israel wanders after everybody else. When you think of why you went after an idol, you think about why. See, Israel is like this. And I was thinking about the chapter that we read in Ezekiel last week when he talked about I found you and you was covering your blood and this, that, and another, and I built you up. You know, the way Abba gave it to me, Israel was that dirty girl with a cute face. You know? Back in the day, it might have been a chick who was like who we would call a dirty girl. But she had a cute face. She had the nappy hair. She had this, that, and another. Didn't dress right. But somebody saw the cuteness of her and took her and made her beautiful. Gave her nice shoes. Gave her some Adidas. Gave her some Jordache. You know, when she was wearing pro wings and she was wearing leaves, you know. Got her hair done. Cleaned her up. All of a sudden, she got the nice braids, and she's looking real nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but she out there, before that, all the dudes was joking her. Didn't nobody want you. You know? Because you dirty. Yeah, you got a nice little face, but you dirty. So Yahweh saw Israel dirty behind, so cleaned her up, made her look nice. Raised them up. And now, she back on the block. And all the attention that she wanted, now the men's are giving it to her. See, because she couldn't, Baal didn't want her at first. Baal was like, well, I ain't going to holler at her. She's dirty. I don't want her. But after Yahweh cleaned her up and brought her up and took her as his own, now she's looking real nice. Now everybody want her. Now Baal like, hi, Israel, how you doing? Couldn't you play? See, but that's the thing. Israel always wanted the play of Baal. She always wanted the play of Allah and all these other gods. Because she forgot everything that Yahweh did for her. And everything that Yahweh did for her wasn't good enough. All of a sudden, Yahweh gave Israel Adidas. Now, she don't want Adidas. She wants J's now. Yahweh gave her Jordan. She don't want Jordan. She wants DKNY, whatever designer. She wants everything everybody else wanted. So we always, Israel has always emulated everybody at the most high, at the one taking care of them. She's always been after the blood and the life of everybody else outside of Yahweh. Always, always been chasing them. Always been chasing these other lovers. Always been doing, I mean, you think about it. Think about why these men who sit up here. When a man and a woman come together, they're supposed to be a one flesh. Paul writes, what man, or even Yahushua writes, what man would be mean to his own flesh? You know, you nurture your flesh. You do this, that, and another to your flesh. You treat your flesh good. But a man and a woman are supposed to be one flesh. But yet you got people who call themselves Israelites, calling their wives all out their name, calling them this, that, and another, and treating them all crazy. But they're Israelites. That's the stuff of the world. That's the stuff that, That's the stuff that the heathens was doing. And we chasing after them. You got Israelites who, at every given turn, the seventh day, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, Sabbath. But somebody else said that the Sabbath is by this, and that's the heathen stuff. They paid attention to the stars and planned their lives around it. Yahweh said, don't be dismayed about it. Just do what I told you, and you'll be on track. And now the whole world is just going. And when we say the whole world, Israel is included in that. They're included in that because they wanted the life. They didn't want what Yahweh had for them. They didn't want the blood that Yahweh had for them. So what do you say? To make things right with me, give up your life. Give up this blood. Because sacrifice yourself. And that'll get things right with me. Because once you stop giving of you, once you get you out the way, you can allow me to start. Once you stop seeing the stuff that you want and start seeing the stuff I got for you and I'll do for you, and your vision changes, your life changes. You know? Darius gets so upset at his mother. And I'm constantly telling him, don't be mad at your mom. I don't like how she treats you, Dad. I understand. Don't be mad at your mom. Love her. You give her a kiss every day. I don't want to kiss her. I'm like, look, kiss her. She'll show her love. See, because she don't understand the effect that that's having on him. And he's not going to say stuff to her. He don't want to hurt her feelings or nothing like that. But she don't understand. Just like I didn't understand when I did wrong. But I see it now. Because now I'm trying to do right. And that's what I mean. When you start following after the Most High and stop worrying about what you want, everything becomes a lot clearer. When you start going after what he has for you and what he wants for you, everything becomes a lot clearer. You start getting the right answers. And not what seems right to you. You know? It used to be... I used to think that there was a right answer for a situation. But now I know that there's a right answer, period. You understand what I'm saying? I've got the right answer for you. And that's all you got to do is ask on them each and every, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? We don't want to keep on with those disciples. And we definitely can't keep on chasing after these false dreams. Definitely. Because as Israel, we're supposed to be holy people. How can we be holy if we're doing everything outside of what Yahweh says is holy? If we don't eat the things that he say eat, the way he say eat, if we don't act the way that he says act and treat each other correctly, how can we call each other holy people? You know, like the brother said, what do you accept? What are you going to accept? Are you going to accept Yahweh's holiness or what you call holy? You know? Because he's trying to, he's developing a holy nation. He's developing holy men and women to represent him. You know? And he's telling us how. But we have to do our part. Again, we got to take, he's telling us where to step, how to step, how to do. Moses was in the military. They teach you how to walk in the military. They teach you how to march. They teach you a certain, look, this is how we do it here. And in order for you to be successful here, we need you to do it this way. And Yahweh is the same way. This is how I do it. And in order for you to be successful, and he can make you successful in each faction of your life, you know? If you want to be successful business-wise or financially, whatever, you got a plan for that. You want to be successful in a relationship, you got a plan for that. You want to be successful just being a well-rounded person, you need knowledge, whatever it is, you got a plan for that. But then you got to let you go, you know? Because like the brother said, when Brother Hobbs taught, We have been thoroughly indoctrinated within this world, and we have to reset our minds. Mm-hmm. We have an idea of what's right. We have an idea of what's holy. But until we give up our blood and lay down our blood and don't consume this, until we start obeying, we're going to keep on falling into the same path at the end of the day. You know? But again, Abba has a real issue with us eating blood because he gave it to us to atone for. You know? So when James was writing these things, it's no coincidence that Yahweh led him that way. You know, the idols, the fornication, the strangling of animals, or those, you know, and the things that we eat in the blood, especially the blood. You know, I don't really like the idols either. But he might have said it, but I don't remember. I'm going to leave that alone. I don't remember. But if we're eating blood and consuming blood, we will be cut off. I would say he, I ain't playing. Not with that one. You know. So any questions or comments on anything?
Organization they have called like a Red Cross or as donating blood.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying that blood is life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes around like while we're in the hospital, they come so people can donate blood to save lives.
Mm-hmm.
Actually we were actually saying this and the same thing just teaching what about life is in the blood.
Life is in the blood.
So you got an organization that comes around with blood to save lives. You know, and another thing I want to talk about is when you connected the same thing for us. Yahweh is going for us, the same thing the brother told last night about Hosea. You know, about he's taking a harlot and Yahweh taking care of that harlot.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is being credited, basically. He said not to say it.
That's right.
That's the one that came up with this teaching.
That's right. You know, I mean, think about it. You know, with the advances of medicine, the doctor knows when he cuts you, you're going to bleed. And the doctor understands that life, the blood keeps you alive. You know, so if you're constantly losing blood, it don't make a difference how fast you're working. Man, I got to get some blood back in you to keep you alive. You know, because if you're bleeding out, but if you're bleeding out, the first thing you're going to do, stop the bleeding. Keep it in. If somebody's operating on you, the first thing they got to do is keep the blood in. Simple as that. You know? So,
when you were eating that, and the question came up a few weeks ago in regard to the blood transfusion, things like that. But when you look at what it says based on the context, he's not even talking about human blood. He's talking about the blood that's supposed to be on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not even, and as you were explaining, the reason behind why we're not supposed to eat the blood because he gave it to us for an atonement. He didn't give human blood for an atonement. You know, and I'm not justifying, okay, well, if that's the case, we're supposed to be able to eat human blood. I'm not standing for that. But based on what the Torah is talking about, he's specifically dealing with these animals. When you go through the explanation, anything that ties up itself, anything that's torn, etc., he's talking about animals specifically. You know, so, no, go ahead.
Any other questions or comments about anything? Right. So that's going to end the talk on our 101 today. And our brother Ahab L is up next. And our brother Yariel is going to bring us some more. Hope Abba open up everybody's minds, open up everybody's understanding, and increases us, you know, individually and collectively, you know, because if he increases us individually and we share, we increase collectively, you know. So, cool. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy and mighty one, who says and does, speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Questions
up. Well, yeah, thank you for making this up today. Give us another opportunity. Do your will. Be the light to this dark world. Give us all our sins, knowing and unknowing, Father God. We decrease that you increase in us so we can be your service here. Your kingdom citizens out here on earth as it is in heaven. Bless those who are on your way. Bless those who are able to attend. Open their spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. Give them their Sabbath. Bless them also. Thank you in all these things that we pray and ask your son, Yahushua, and that. I'll soon come to you again. Amen.
Amen.
Conqueror.